right, and welcome to another episode of Take Foul. It is Friday, July 19th. We're coming to you from 6:35 p.m. Eastern Time, 5:35 Central. We are a mere less than 10 days away from the Olympics starting, and we have a lot to get to. With international basketball, but with the NBA, there's been a lot of transactions and kind of too many to talk about because we want to get to some USA basketball stuff. So we are going to do one move that we did like and one move that we didn't like. Sorry, there's no, you know, gimmick for how to say that, but so as the hatin' ass podcast that we are, should we start with the bad moves?
Let's do it.
Mike, go ahead.
I didn't love the Kings deciding to go for and grab DeMar DeRozan. I'm a DeMar guy. I appreciated everything he did in Chicago, but it feels like his style of basketball is gone and dead. And it feels like he's really going to slow down their offense in ways that is not going to be really productive. And I don't know, it was like $77 million with the sign and trade rate. So they have to pay him like $77 million.
But yeah.
But 3 years, $74 million.
Something then. Like that, get it right.
Yeah. So hot, and I don't feel like his production is going to be anywhere near what they need to make their team necessarily better. Yeah.
I
am a DeMar guy.
Yeah, I think it's like it could go well.
Like it could if he hits all his mid-range shots.
Right. But like there is some sort of, you know, and I do think DeMar has been malleable in the past, like with the Spurs and stuff. Will it translate to like high-level postseason run type of winning basketball? I think I have my doubts about that, but I feel like they'll still be, you know, decently solid in a really stacked Western Conference in the regular season.
Sure. I'm not saying it makes them worse. It just kind of feels like those end years with like Melo, in which like you kind of know his game. He's not going to be like a 3-point shooter. He's kind of aging out of the period in which he's going to be like effective defensively. It's like, I don't know. I just don't think that like they're bringing in a tool that's going to really bolster them in a Western Conference that's so good.
Don't you think like they would be taking a step back if they didn't do anything? And like this sort of allows them to take a step forward. I'm not sure if it'll be a step forward like long term, but like
I guess like in that at some point you got to just shoot for everything, right? Cuz like you are pretty limited with how good the West is, so I guess I feel like in the idea like, oh, they're trying to make something happen, then it's – I just don't think that this is going to make any
positive difference. It does seem like very last resort.
Yeah.
It seems like they were going after like Markkanen too, right? Like I think that was out there. And then they went for the guy who was like, besides LaVine, maybe the most obvious trade block like in the league. So,
yeah, it's like it does feel like because Paul George to the Sixers happened, DeRozan was sort of left there, and then they like kind of went after that.
The domino started to fall, and that's what they had to pick up.
Yeah, I don't hate the move, just from a Kings context, I think, as well, just of a franchise that's wallowed in really, really bad basketball for a while to just stay relevant, I think. Do they have a path to the title? I would say, like, absolutely not. But I don't know. Whatever. It's a fun team.
I guess.
Like, let's have fun. Let's have fun. And maybe that should be their philosophy right now.
And DeMar can be fun if he's hitting shots,
yeah,
you know?
He's a closer, Fox and DeRozan both great fourth quarter closers. I don't know. Ike, bad move.
I just went with the Nuggets, like what they've been doing.
Like yesterday?
Well, Westbrook, yeah, that was pretty bad. Saric is the only other like addition, right?
Yeah, they lost KCP to the Magic. There's a lot of like he said, she said type of shit going on there with how much he actually was offered. What don't you like?
It just seems like they got a lot worse. I'm not 100% sure like how limited they were in terms of what they could offer KCP, but it doesn't seem like they really replaced him. Like Saric is fine, not good. Westbrook, who knows like what he's going to be next year, but it hasn't been good at all. So yeah.
Yeah. It definitely does feel like they're moving in the wrong direction if like from where they were a couple of years ago, but I don't know. I feel like it, I mean, that's part of it. Like you built a strong team. It's hard to maintain that kind of squad for a long period of time, you know?
I think, you know, there's the thought about saving the billionaires, some like tax stuff as well. But there's also this second apron thing that drastically would limit their flexibility. And maybe part of this was that they wanted to retain some flexibility and not lock in their starting five, which to me doesn't really make sense because this starting
five, on the brink every year, they just
won a year ago, you know, like, and there's no reason that some moves around the fringes, I think, I mean, you know, it makes it difficult to make those moves around the fringes, but the fact that like a few days before they got rid of or KCP left, I should say, I think they leaked that like they don't need him, and I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, like because Christian Brown, you know, like he's fine off the bench, he can't shoot really, at the volume that KCP can.
Very different.
They lost or they got rid of Reggie Jackson, for like some, you know, and I think they sent out second round picks with that as well. I hate the Russell Westbrook fit.
Yeah, I just really, so bizarre.
Really hate it. And I don't know if he'll play that much with Jokic or he'll like run the second unit, but yeah, I don't know. Weird offseason for Denver.
I have a question about Russell. Where would he have fit though? You know, it's like, I feel like there's not a lot of places where he would go in which he'd want to be part of a team that he'd actually be able to play on.
Yeah. Right?
I feel like the Clippers, like, just letting him come on.
Yeah, I don't know.
He'd accepted just kind of coming off the bench and having that freedom. So, I don't know.
Milwaukee?
Yeah, I mean, if you put him in the same role, maybe.
Or Phoenix?
God.
KD, yeah, KD reunion?
Makes that even more gross.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tough for 6'3", 6'4 guards that can't really shoot anymore to find rotation spots. Okay, so mine is similar to Ike's. It's the Bulls. I'm gonna go through it. So, other than the fact that I do agree with the direction that they finally decide to punt on being a 10 seed and get worse, they
not bad enough yet.
No, I think they're bad enough to, you know, win some lottery picks. I just don't agree with the return they got, right? So it's like Caruso for Giddy. I think, you know, off-court stuff aside, Josh Giddy.
We talked about that.
Yeah, younger, whatever, no picks coming back. DeRozan goes to the Kings for 2 second-round picks and Chris Duarte, who's like 28 at this point. And then instead of taking on the Harrison Barnes contract, which would have, you know, probably put them in the luxury tax a little bit, definitely wouldn't have hit them into the first apron or the second apron. That was attached with a unprotected 2031 swap from Sacramento that goes to the Spurs. And it's like, what? That is, to me, a 2031 Sacramento unprotected swap is huge. You know, like that team.
We're talking about sixth graders right now,
dude. That team's gonna suck in 2031. Like that's the exact kind of things that you
don't
want.
Know that
it's the stuff that you want as a rebuilding team are assets like that, and because they cheaped out on taking on Harrison Barnes' contract, like it just ended up being Chris Duarte and 2 second round picks. And then not to mention the Patrick Williams 5 years, $90 million contract. It's like maybe that won't look so bad down the line.
No, it's going to look bad.
But, yeah, he hasn't done anything. Like, other thing is, like, who are they competing with, dude? You know, like, who are they fucking competing with to just have to extend this soon and for that much money?
Okay, can I defend the Bulls for 1 second?
You may.
For one quick second. So, I mean, they already fucked themselves in any sort of negotiations way early in the year when they were trying to offload Levine to anybody, and they just put all their cards on the table. So now every team has just been able to take advantage of them because they know that the bargaining chips are just – it's a super one-sided. So it's hard to really negotiate when you really say – when you're just wearing your heart on your sleeve and you're not really able to make any arguments to protect yourself. You know, so everyone's able to go and rob them because that's all they can do. Because they need to get rid of these guys, but like they have to do it, and now they're forced to do it in a way that's not super beneficial for them.
Yeah, but I do think what I'm saying stands, and I think that there's also like on the flip side with Oklahoma City is like they clearly Josh Giddey was not part of their future, and they really wanted to get rid of him, and to replace him with Caruso is huge. And you know, obviously we talked about this, so I don't want to get too far into it, but it's like there's some desperation on that end as well, that I feel like the Bulls management could have taken advantage of.
We should have gotten a pick. I don't know how we didn't get a pick in
also,
at least a pick, one middle schooler. Yeah,
he would have been the perfect guy to like trade to a contender like at the trade deadline for like
they weren't ready to give up yet.
Yeah, and they didn't do that.
I'm saying like even this year, like hold off.
Yeah.
Oh, like hold him until
don't trade Giddey or trade for Giddey.
You're saying that they should have held on to him until like the until
unless someone made that offer like more soon. But I feel like he's the ultimate guy who like a contender would look at and be like, if we add him, that's like a game changer.
Yeah, there's a few,
and you could get a real pick out of that.
I feel like with how stacked the West is as well, there's just going to be, you know, one of the fucking 13 teams vying for those 10 top spots is looking to, you know, boost their chances into like hopping into, you know, the top six or something, and then they get desperate and they, you know, and then they like trade too much or whatever. It's just, it just felt weird and impatient. But you know,
I think they're trying to make up for the lost time in which they should have been doing this kind of stuff. So now they felt really rushed to do it. But like again, the Caruso thing was a little upsetting because he was, I mean, he's obviously the most valuable piece they had, and like elite defenders are hard to kind of come by, especially when you. But yeah, it's tough. It's an unfortunate situation. The draft pick looks good. 25 points yesterday. 26 points yesterday.
Yeah, I like Buzos.
Yeah, he's playing well.
That was a good pick.
Yeah.
Mike, good move.
The Thunder. Well, I've got two quick ones. So the Thunder, I think getting that black kid from New York, huge. Great. I mean, like they got a guy who's going to come in and just work really hard and not really worry about offensive product. Like he's just going to come out and just bust his ass for them every night.
Yeah,
I think that's big. Getting Caruso, an elite defender playing in the West, I think that's also huge. I think the Thunder are, I mean, with their young core too, it's like they're got to be one of the scariest teams coming up in the West along with you guys. Like it's gonna be hard to really match them in talent. And then also this is more of a player centered thing. I don't know a lot about how money works in any sports. It's kind of above my pay grade, but I like what Jalen Brunson did. I do like what Jalen Brunson did taking taken less money in order to try to build something a little bit more productive in New York. I think you don't really see that a ton out of players anymore. And I think it shows, like, again, when you're already making that much money, what's the difference? But it just shows that he is interested in winning.
Yeah, so on the Brunson thing, how I've tried to read and listen about a lot about this because it's just a difficult thing to wrap your head around. But basically, by signing early, which is what he did, he was able to lock in this 4-year deal at this number from where he was at. And then at the end of it, because there is a player option, the fourth year is a player option. If he declines that, then he will be eligible for that, like, giant fucking 35% supermax deal, right? And so he'll be able to get into that earlier, theoretically, right? So there's a lot that has to happen for him to get there. The other part that was I thought was sort of interesting that was discussed was, like, Isaiah Thomas, you know, small Isaiah Thomas, essentially did not decide to take this early deal, this like early 4-year deal that Brunson has now, and try to prove himself the next year to get like that 5-year max or really? Know, whatever, like the bigger max. And then obviously that didn't happen. So like anything could have happened this next year. I mean, you know, it's a radically different situation with his dad being on the coaching staff and his godfather or whatever being like the GM and like, you know, all his boys are there and stuff. But there, I thought that was kind of like an interesting sort of tidbit to consider as well, because he does get this guaranteed giant amount of money.
So he's not really saying turning down money. It's just like he's delaying money. What's the
in theory? Yeah, in theory.
Okay. All right.
Like, would you give up $113 million to hoop with me and Mike?
With your boys. Play ball with your friends.
Yeah, I mean, I just
yes.
I just wonder. Just wonder if he's going to be able to feed his kids, you know? I hope he's all right.
Barely above that poverty line living in New York.
Yeah.
It's tough.
The sacrifices we make, guys.
Ike, good move.
I had the Knicks and the Thunder, so all
just like me.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go with the Pelicans.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just like the Murray trade.
You did?
I did. I think they needed to change something. I think this makes them a more like defined team, like less weird. I think they still have to kind of figure it out with Brandon Ingram. Yeah. Like that still has to be resolved, but I don't know. I kind of like it. This is also the last second edition, but
yeah, I think I did not like the DeJounte Murray trade personally because, I think there were aspects of his game in San Antonio where he was more of a distributor and stuff, and maybe he'll return to that. But I feel like from what we've seen the past few years, he's just sort of like a get to your spot kind of mid-range guy.
Well, yeah. Have to play with Trae Young though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, and McCollum does, will move off ball.
Yeah.
It does feel like he's picked up bad habits in Atlanta. And it just like doesn't seem like
yeah. I think there's, you know, and then like the spacing is a little bit of a question mark to me as well with Zion. And then I mean, yeah, they have to get rid of Ingram, dude.
Yeah.
And they have to get a starting center.
Yeah, losing Valencia. They got what's Tice?
Yeah, they got Tice, yeah. And they got their rookie Yves Missi, yeah. Who's playing decently well in summer league. But
where did they draft at? Undersized. Where was their draft spot? They're like 15.
They were in the lottery 15? Or in the play-in, weren't they? Yeah, so, like
let's
14 see. Or 15, I think, right?
Yves Missi draft.
Well, you're kind of saying it does feel like they're still kind of a weird team, just So they have so many weird pieces around. Like, they don't really have, like, feels like all their guys are just, like, very, it's the extreme of their spots, you know? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was good getting rid of Dyson Daniels just to, like, you know, sort of get rid of some of the youthful conglomerate that you're alluding to, mm-hmm. Mike. But I just think they really just have to start Trey Murphy the third. I think that guy's good. I think he's better than Brandon Ingram.
Yeah. They'll probably not do that for like 2 months. Trade Brandon Ingram and do that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
Quick question. Where are we at with Zion?
Yeah.
I still believe.
You still believe? All right. I'm still in it too.
I still believe for 35 games a year.
Yeah. Okay, but
it's starting to hit that point where it's like, ah, he was really just playing against a bunch of like tiny white kids in high school, and then like spent it.
He is still like good when he plays.
And when he plays, he's fucking.
I know, but he didn't have to play. He didn't have to play all these fucking games in high school and college. He could kind of like coast and didn't really have to work super hard.
Mike's different. The fucking rest days to high school and college.
God. Hey, you know who's never missed a game?
Mikal Bridges.
Yep, absolutely. Zion could never.
Yeah. But I don't know. I'm still so curious about what he could do in the playoffs. And we just have not been able to see it.
Which I mean, he's got to win a play-in. He's got to win the play-in.
Well, they've been in the playoffs. They've just been there without him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
yeah. This past year, the year before with this against the Suns,
they didn't go to the playoffs. This past, they lost in the play.
No, they played against the Thunder in the first round. I know. It was the most forgettable series ever.
Jesus Christ! Yeah, he got hurt in the play-in, didn't he?
Exactly. Yeah. Which sucks. It was the fucking last game, but you know it happens. Okay. So my good move. I had Mikal Bridges, that's the big one, but I'll focus on the two smaller ones. I like the Spurs getting Chris Paul. Finally, a dude that can throw Victor an entry pass. Yes.
Any pass.
Yeah, exactly. Any pass, an entry pass, whatever. And then also kind of locking in, at least for a year, a good mentor for Steph Castle to actually play point guard if that is actually going to be the case. Which you know, watching him, I sort of see a little bit more now, I think. Could be, you know, as we talked about, the UConn system was a little more rigid and in the more free-flowing NBA. I think they're, you know, he's actually really skilled.
Yep.
Yeah, so it's cool.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think the Spurs are doing everything right in terms of Wemby right now. You know, like, it was really frustrating watching Spurs games last year when just, like, he could not, when they just would not involve him because, like, no one, for some reason, couldn't pass someone with an 8-foot wingspan. I do think they're doing right by him.
Yeah, just, I hope we get more, like, Wemby centric offense, unless Malachi Branham tween as he cross fucking step back, like, you know what? What was that? The other small one, I liked the Bucks getting Gary Trent Jr., Apple Valley product. I think that they were probably just gonna start DeLon Wright.
Torian Prinsen too.
Yeah, or TP, you know, and I think Gary Trent is just a better player than both of them. I think Gary Trent's a better player than Malik Beasley, or at least more consistent. He's defended well in the past. I don't think he was trying that hard with the Raptors last year, personally. But yeah, I don't know. I think, you know, the Bucks have had a quiet off season. But I think there is sort of this continuity aspect with the Bucks that a lot of people are sleeping on, where it's like, oh, you know, the Sixers got Paul George, the Knicks got Mikal Bridges, like they're, you know, assembling these big teams. But the Bucks, I feel like there's sort of a parallel with the Timberwolves from the year before to last year, where like there's this big trade that happens, right? Rudy Gobert, Damian Lillard comes in. First year, it looks super fucking clunky. They struggle with injuries, you know, and especially with the Bucks, and the Wolves, sort of. Like, they didn't exactly have, like, a full offseason where they can really get into training camp and, like, drill stuff down.
Lillard said he didn't,
And, he, like, Lillard allegedly wasn't even working out because he was so scared of getting injured before being traded. And then, like, they had the coaching shift in the middle of the year. Just a lot went wrong for the Bucks, and I feel like if they're able to sort of have this extra time to gel, they could really challenge a lot of those top teams in the East.
Yeah, I do agree with that. I do think the coaching piece of it is going to be kind of weird, though. I mean, like, you guys, like, I feel like that's the biggest difference between, like, that Wolves side and this Bucks side is, like, you guys did have Finch, who was holding it in. Good assistant, what do you mean?
Mike Anora.
Oh, yeah. Did he leave?
No.
He's no,
still
okay.
There. Yeah, all right. We still got him.
Definitely interviewed.
Yeah, I guess the main difference between the Bucks and the Wolves is that the Bucks don't have that sort of built-in internal improvement with a young player like Anthony Edwards, you know? Sure. And, like, if anything, Lillard might decline. But we'll see. We'll see. Okay, moving right along, dude. Should we do the Lauri Markkanen interlude?
Let's do it.
Okay. So I have prepared for you guys a Lauri Markkanen would you rather. First question is the trade going out from the Warriors is they would send over Moses Moody plus picks. Danny Ainge and the Jazz countered with, give me Pods, Kuminga, Moody plus picks, right? Which is it's a lot.
Yeah.
And so obviously they're probably going to meet in the middle. What if you're the Warriors, what would you be willing to give up for Lauri Markkanen?
I mean, from the Warriors standpoint, it feels like they're trying to make one last push with Steph kind of around, you know? So like, if that's your goal, then I feel like you do kind of have to give up a lot of that like future prospect kind of stuff in those picks. So like, I don't think it's wrong, but you are just kind of putting yourself in a coffin for,
I mean, those guys though are like active like players that matter to them.
Yeah, the rotation.
Like that's not, yeah, that's not, I feel like that's all more right than giving up.
It could get worse but, if you give up all three.
Yeah.
That's true. But what were the pick situation, you know, or no?
I mean, it just depends on the offer, I think. If there's less of the dudes, then there's probably more picks. I don't know.
Yeah, picks is a dangerous game too, though, with like
I feel like they're not good enough where they're at right now. So if it is a goal to try to win something, then like you got to make the move. I'm a big Lauri guy, Bulls product, but
good for you.
Yeah.
Hang your hat on.
So I don't know. I like Lauri. I think that it would be a good fit. So if you are looking to try to make something happen, they still probably wouldn't be good enough. Like even with him, like it's that's how good the West is. But I do think if that's the goal, then I would say yeah.
I would hold on to Kuminga. Think the other two could go.
Podzemski.
I know Podzemski's
held
like
down on that guy.
Podzemski's like the perfect Warriors player or whatever. Yeah, but yeah. I don't know. Like they still signed D'Anthony Melton, who I think is the way he's been talked about in stuff I've listened to. It's kind of bizarre. They're like, he's so good. Like, he's just the perfect two guard. And I was like,
I haven't seen it.
Is he? Like, is D'Anthony Melton that good? I don't know. I mean, the Warriors have had a good offseason, I think. But this could change things. Okay, so this we're just going to rapid fire. Would you rather Lauri Markkanen or blank? First name on the list, Paul George.
Paul George.
Markkanen.
You take Markkanen?
Come on.
I could take Paul George. I think at this point, I would still take Paul George. Kawhi Leonard.
Kawhi.
What team? What's my team? Am I like
just
trying
who,
in general.
You're an organization. Who would
you're watching
have?
Two guys play well, ball. Who are you taking?
Kawhi Leonard, 100% of that.
Well, no. The purpose of the exercise is like you have a team.
Well, yeah. So if that? I'm like, if I'm
doesn't matter who's
the
who
Wizard.
Else is on the team.
So you're fantasy drafting. You're fantasy drafting.
Yeah. Well, no, because then it's all about
Kawhi
stats.
Leonard. Well.
No, I'm saying like if you're doing like a fantasy draft of all
like
the players in the league, like yeah, like if you are a GM and you're doing it and you're resetting the fantasy draft, yeah,
that depends what the draft order is.
All right, come on, Kawhi Leonard or Lauri Markkanen?
Answer the question.
Well, because so much of it depends on
say Kawhi
on whether or not Kawhi wants to play. Like if he's on a good team, he'll want to play. If he's on
he
a bad
okay,
team,
okay,
I can...
he wants to play, but the all yeah, the all the injury him. Stuff still exists.
I'll take him.
Okay. I would also take Kawhi Leonard. Brandon Ingram.
Lauri.
I'll take Lauri because I think I could get more for him in a trade.
Yeah, I'd take Lauri Markkanen as well. I think he's better. Trey Murphy the third.
Lauri? Yeah, I'd probably take Lauri.
I guess, yeah, I would still say Lauri.
Yeah, I think I'd take Lauri Markkanen, but I think this is really, really close. Lowry. Yeah, Lauri, whatever. Chris Middleton.
Markkanen.
That's tough. I might go Chris Middleton.
I'm shocked. That's where you draw the line.
Yeah, that's interesting.
He's proving it. He's proven it.
Dude, he just had
he's done a proven job.
Had surgery on both ankles, by the way.
That guy's
man is fucking walking around like a seal right now.
Paul George, no. Kawhi,
get him healthy.
No.
I said Kawhi. I said Kawhi.
Okay.
I said Kawhi.
Yeah, I would go Lauri Markkanen here. Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler.
Lauri.
You guys are—that's crazy. You're being disingenuous. That's not true.
I'm trading him.
If I'm thinking about whatever team that I have, and I think Jimmy Butler's done in the playoffs, you know, it's like, are we going to win more regular season games with Lauri Markkanen? Probably, but Jimmy's done in the playoffs. I think I'd take Jimmy Butler. Next one, DeMar DeRozan.
Lauri.
Yeah. Well. If the season only lasted up until February, DeMar, but since we're playing the whole time, probably Lowry.
Okay.
Again,
I would take Lowry at this point.
I'm getting more for Lowry.
Julius Randle.
I fucking hate Julius Randle.
Julius Randle.
Taking Randle.
Yeah. Well, I probably Julius Randle.
Wow. Okay. I would take Markkanen in here because I think he fits in better with. You know, whatever
with
situation.
What
doesn't well, yeah what
how do you know he fits in better
I think he's a more malleable player
I think he's a black hole on offense.
I don't like Julius Randle either, but do you think Lowry fits them better with that Knicks team than Julius Randle does?
Yes. 100%
no.
Yes.
No yes. Not with no
I
not like, with Tibbs
not with Tibbs absolutely not
sir.
If soft. That if the rest of that team was healthy, not Julius Randle, I think they would have beaten the Pacers without Julius Randle. I know that was a weird way of phrasing that, but you know what I mean. Okay, moving
really
right along. Team USA. So Team USA played against Canada and Serbia. And they play South Sudan.
South Sudan tomorrow. Guess the line. Guess the line on the South Sudan game real quick.
37.5.
Yeah. Oh, and they also played Australia?
They played Australia.
Yes,
yep.
They did play Australia. Yeah. Minus 41.5.
Minus 38.5.
Okay.
Both of you very close. Yeah. But Ike was about 1 point off.
Suck it, Sam.
Yeah, so there's been three games. Ike, what have been some things that have stuck out for you?
Ant, Steph Curry, Anthony Davis. Uh, those have been like my three guys that I've been really impressed by. Like, I guess maybe Anthony Davis is more because like I wasn't sure, but I think he's looked really good. Otherwise, I think they've looked pretty good. I watched the Canada game. Like, the first one was kind of gross, or the first half was kind of gross, but yep, they kind of dominated second, and I thought they looked pretty good.
Mike, what have been some
early Yeah, surprise? I agree with, like, Steph has been better than I was really anticipating him coming out and playing. AD has been good. Bam has been probably my biggest surprise. I do not rate Bam in general very highly, but he has been, that's crazy. I think they are set up to be in a very good spot. I think the Australia game, when they're up by like 16 or whatever, they kind of took their foot off the gas. Serbia, they had one quarter in which it wasn't like they weren't dominating them. And then who else did they play?
Australia.
Yeah, Australia, yeah. They took their foot off the gas, and then Canada, like, they just kind of came out a little sluggish, and then they just kind of turned it on after they went down 10. It wasn't a game from that point. I think that they, like, even – I don't think they're even – obviously haven't hit their best stride, and I think they'll win because it's going to be a nasty business for a lot of teams out there.
Yeah, I think I really expected them, and I think Australia was first, right?
Canada was first, and Australia was third.
Okay, well, yeah. I think I really expected them to come out the gates looking sloppy, because that's just sort of the nature of how these teams are. And then I think there was things happening in the second half of that Serbia game where I was like, oh, okay, like, now they're getting to – you know, where
they're having a little fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like their things were clicking. And it was interesting because in the first two games, you know, I think there was a lot of, I mean, obviously they got their shots that were good, but I feel like some of the guys were making tough shots as well. Especially Ant, I think. And when things were really clicking in the Serbia game, and Edwards comes on, and like, he takes makeable shots, but they're still sort of tough shots, and I just felt like they really stuck out, because it's like, if this team wants, they can get like a really good look every single time down. So I imagine that'll be a learning curve for Ant as well.
I'm an Ant guy, but there have been a couple of moments in which he has felt like he's hurt their offense because of the decision making, which I think you're kind of talking about.
Yeah.
So, but like, it's just like, it's like, you don't need to hold the ball for 6 seconds when you're playing on this team and like do a contested three, right? Like, it's just like stuff like that. But would that do really pop out?
Yeah. I do think
they're still elite. Yeah. Just said numbers, like he's still like shooting it super well.
Yeah,
like,
he's still shooting well. But it's just funny because he's like so good, where it's like when things are a little weird, you're like, huh, like that's weird. Forgot what I was gonna say. Anyway, I thought from these first three games, who do you guys think should start? Ike?
Steph, Ant, LeBron, easy money sniper, Anthony Davis.
Mm. Okay. Mike?
Five. I've been thinking about this a lot. Yeah, okay. I was going to think too. Steph, Anthony Davis, I like the way Drew Holiday's been playing. I really do like the way Drew Holiday's been playing. Drew, honestly, I like the way Bam's been playing a lot too. Bam, and then I feel like it's kind of tough between the Booker, KD, or Ant kind of in that last role. Kind of like depends on what you kind of want to go with. If you want like a larger wing, or if you want like a three guard setup, you kind of, it's hard to go wrong. But right now, I'd probably go to KD to kind of balance out the two, like the first team, second team.
No Tatum?
No, Tatum's been a little, it's just like, I don't know. He's just, Like he's not ex- I don't know. He's not exciting. Nothing he does is really, nothing he does is only fun to watch.
Yeah. Basketball analysis, oralist.
Yeah. Bench. I don't know.
For me, I think I would go Steph, Ant, LeBron, Bam, AD. And then I would extend that by putting Haliburton, Booker, Drew, Tatum, KD in a sort of like rotating thing and not do the and then always keep one of Bam or AD in with those guys. I do agree, Mike. I think Drew has looked really good with the starting group. I mean, although I will say it's like the starting group sort of like fucks around a little bit and then the second unit has come on and like gone on a run,
yeah,
you know, in these first three games at least.
But in their defense, it's because their second unit is also usually playing against worse guys, yeah, from these absolutely. Other countries. And then I do have a question. Do you think LeBron is starting off merit, or is he starting because he's LeBron?
Is that the same question?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Merit is that the, implied.
My bad. Is he starting because he's earned it or starting because he's LeBron?
Is that the same?
Is he good? No, it's not the same. Is he good enough to start on this? Like, is he still a top?
Yeah.
Yes.
He is good enough.
Yeah, I think he is. And I think he there's a sort of a question of rim pressure on this team, I think.
Sure.
Where Embiid has sort of been ineffective at that, and
he's been horrible.
Yeah, I mean, Embiid's just been trying to fucking
he's been terrible.
It's embarrassing. It's huge for me, Embiid hater.
Yeah.
No xenophobia here. Okay.
Just got send him back to Cameroon.
Embiid hater outside of the naturalized citizen thing.
Ever since he represented Cameroon.
Support him in.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I wouldn't play him.
Embiid, I mean, he doesn't deserve to play the way he's been playing.
Think,
he's been bad.
I think he's clogged stuff up. Everyone else on that team is mobile. They're moving around without the ball. They're making cuts. They're, you know, running to the rim for lobs. I got caught out. LeBron, rim pressure.
Okay, yeah.
It's like if you start Tatum or KD in that role, right, which is sort of the natural replacement for him, I think there's like those guys just don't have that sort of like put your head down and attack the rim type of thing that I feel like, you know, sort of is important in FIBA play.
Sure.
It's also like huge in terms of like he's someone that is like great at getting everyone involved and getting everyone on like one page.
Yeah.
Like in terms of trying to make a team out of like 15 or however many dudes that don't play together.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how much I necessarily agree with that. Like, what do you mean?
He's the leader. He's the leader of the team.
He's the leader, like with the ball, like without the ball, like on the bench. Like he's going to move the ball. He's not like he's a great unifier. Like, what do you mean?
So you're saying that he's a good leader, like
he's a good leader, but on the court he's like incredibly smart and he'll make the right decision.
Sure, yeah, his IQ is his basketball IQ is good.
In terms of like trying to spread the ball around to like five guys who are all like first team all NBA at one point.
Yeah, I will agree. He cares. He does care probably about winning this more than anyone else out there. I think that it is fair. I don't know how much I would say that necessarily translates to leadership, but I would agree that like he is probably one of the most committed to the team's success.
Well,
I think if you asked any player on the team, they'd say like he's the leader of our team. Like
yeah,
we all listen to him.
It's been very clear.
Sure, I'm saying that's probably.
Yeah, he like huddles everyone up.
You kind of
like,
have to
give speeches.
Yeah, I'm sure he does. I'm sure he does. Yeah, when the cameras are around.
Who do you
yeah,
think is the leader of that team?
I don't think this team necessarily needs a leader. It's the best 12 guys in the world at basketball.
This is how.
Well, not the best 12, but 12 of the best 16. This is not how you lose. No, this is not how you lose. This is not. Like, this is not how you lose. Guys.
It doesn't matter who we play.
This is not. It does not matter who they play. It really
does. Need to be a unit, Mike. There's no I in team. Anyway. What else do I have?
About against the field. Can we talk a little bit about the other teams?
Yeah.
One team specifically that I think is getting a little bit overlooked in terms of odds and stuff is Australia. They've probably looked the best in these prelims. Like Canada, I think, hasn't looked as good as a lot of team people have been saying. They played France today. I think they're playing right now, actually.
They played earlier today. Who won the game?
France.
Did France win?
France ended up winning.
No, Canada.
Canada won, right?
We just talked about this.
Okay. It was close. I watched the first half.
Line was only 4 points, but what?
Canada won 85-73.
Okay.
85-73. Okay. So that's good for Canada. But I think also the Australian team is going to be a sneaky dog to deal with. I think the French team.
Chicago Bull, Josh Giddey.
Yeah. Leader of those Australians.
You know, Patty Mills is the leader of that team.
Another team that has gotten a good amount of publicity that they should have beaten Greece yesterday is Puerto Rico. A sneaky team to maybe come out of that group with the USA and Serbia and South Sudan.
No.
Telling you right now. Sneaky team to make the knockouts. They might be better than Serbia. They might be better than the Serbian team.
Never.
Yeah, I don't think they're better than Serbia. I think there's the thing with Serbia is they just have a ton of size, and that's why I think they're sort of interesting in how they match up against the U.S.
And good players too.
Yeah, and you know they also have two NBA guards in Micić and Bogdanović as well.
And. Pretty good center.
Yeah, and the interview.
Oh, well, of course. Needless to say, yeah. And then you know, Poku off the bench as well.
Other than their game against the US, how can someone look up how they're doing in their other friendlies? I know they played like 3 games in 3 days or some shit. But.
Dude, yeah. So they beat Australia the day before they played the U.S., which is just a hilarious thing to do from their basketball federation.
They beat Australia and lost to France.
Yeah.
Weird.
I watched a little bit of the France game. I think the other thing that makes Serbia interesting is they get 3 shots in theory, at going at the U.S., right? So, Wednesday was the first time they met, and then they'll meet again in the group stage, and then in theory they'll meet again in the knockout stage. And you know they'll be able to make adjustments along the way. Obviously, I don't know how much you can adjust. This USA team just has no holes, just like straight up no holes, zero weaknesses, which is insane. You know, other than maybe Embiid,
there's nothing to be done. Much,
but it's like it's still Joel Embiid. You know,
do you think they were the second favorites after like all the spots were filled though, and I don't necessarily see that as super accurate. I don't know.
I don't think so. I think Canada, France, and then Serbia.
So they dropped. It was once the qualification tournament. Yeah, they were the number two at like +350 or some shit.
I believe
the U.S. was -450. They were
+350. The Canada's +1100 right now is second.
That's insane. That's honestly. I mean, what is the U.S. like, -10,000?
-500.
I do think there is something to be said about how the U.S. team matches up to the Canadians, where Canada might be the second most talented team. Yeah, exactly. It's just like. They're running out there with Kelly Olynyk and Trey Lyles, and like Ken Burch off the bench. Yeah,
Powell.
Yeah, exactly. Dwight Powell.
You see him? Powell.
He's like 6'7" at best.
I can't play physical.
Yeah. There's a good Twitter account called "Did Dwight Powell Get Hit in the Face Today?" and he was having a field day with that. He's like, "Yes, oh my god, yes."
That was fucking dirty.
This is a hilarious Twitter account.
I mean, I will say it's got to be frustrating for... And I do like Embiid. I think he's a good basketball player. I know that you guys don't necessarily feel the same way. I do think it's got to be frustrating when you're not getting... When you get all these calls throughout the NBA season and then you're not getting any of these calls in the international play. You know, I do think that's got to be a big turnaround. But I think he just has to not foul bait as much and he'll be fine. Like, he is more than capable of playing basketball. He's just got to...
Yeah, he's foul baiting fucking... Serbia's backup center, like,
yeah, just like, kind of
shoot the fucking ball.
Yeah, we are. I will say we are sleeping on the reigning FIBA World Cup winner,
Germany,
led by MVP Dennis Schroeder of that FIBA tournament, along with the Wagner twins and current Pelicans starting center Daniel Theis. I don't know if there's going to be much there.
There's not.
You wouldn't think so.
It really isn't.
No, I just don't think so. But
who did they beat in the final?
Serbia. No Jokic.
Okay, yeah, because Serbia beat Canada, and then Germany beat Serbia.
I think Germany beat Canada, if I remember correctly. But
Germany beat us. Germany beat the U.S.
Yeah.
So okay, then Canada beat us in the in this third place game.
Yeah. Yeah. Who's that dude on the Heat? Nikola
Jovic.
Jovic. Yeah. Also, I think he'll be playing as well, I assume. For Serbia. I think I also am a little worried about France because of this just sort of Wembanyama question mark, and if
it's a big wild card,
and like they have more size than the U.S., which is kind of crazy.
How come Sar's not playing?
Is he grinding out 0 for 16 in summer?
That was crazy.
Canada could have used Edie, dude.
I think he said no.
Yeah, I think he wanted to play summer league.
Yeah,
he probably I kind of it makes sense. Yeah.
No, it doesn't. I mean, don't be a bitch.
Okay, last thing.
Trying to make it.
USA or the field? Who are you taking?
Puerto Rico.
The field, Mike. Ike.
I'm taking a team comprised of USA players who have never made an All-Star game over the field.
Wrong.
No.
We just saw that wrong. We already saw that. We this played out.
No,
already.
Those were plenty of all.
Do you have the team?
Yes.
Oh,
Kate Cunningham, Derek White. Now you can kind of choose Desmond Bane, Jalen Williams, Mikhail Bridges, and then at like power at bigs, Evan Mobley, Aaron Gordon, Chet Holmgren, Jared Allen.
Jared Allen's made an All-Star team.
You certain?
I'm certain.
Yeah.
Okay, yes. Don't take Jarrett Allen.
I don't know if I'm taking that team.
Yeah, I'm not taking
that. Who are you taking?
I'm probably taking
Canada.
Canadians, the French, the Australians over there.
Cade Cunningham, Derek White.
I'm taking Serbia.
Mikhail Bridges, Evan Mobley, Chet Holmgren. How are you taking Serbia? Serbia has only Jokic compared to these guys.
Dude, I don't like the Serbian team's overrated. I don't know about these Serbs.
Okay. All right. I mean, that's me. I'm taking Serbia, and I'm potentially taking
Canada's France, still putting up those Canada. Two bigs against Evan Mobley Canada's and, like, Shea. Chet Holmgren. Fucking put Derek White on him. Fucking fine.
Canada has Lou Dort.
Canada has Dylan Brooks.
No, these guys are all worse. Tell you Winnick. Like, than everyone I've mentioned. Everyone you guys have mentioned besides Jokic and
call
Shea
up Wiggins
worse.
Again.
Fucking Wiggins is a bum who said no.
Did you say no?
He can't get hurt because of his contract. He has to, like, negotiate a contract so he can't get injured.
He needs one more contract.
Wanker.
Yeah. I have one more thing. A Greek team called out the Celtics.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, I saw this.
I would love nothing more than them to play like a three-game series
the and Celtics just
absolutely hammer the fuck
it.
Out of them. Like it's a lose. Like it's not a. Like, there is no. It's not a win situation for the Celtics, but like just to beat them by like 60 to 70 points, then I would just be.
Do it for America.
There was that whole thing we talked about. It was like there was like the McDonald's fucking like World Challenge or something back in the day. Bring that shit back. Bring that shit back. Come to fucking TD Garden.
He said you didn't want to pull up to pull whatever the with some Greek thing. I don't know. He said to
we'll pull up to fucking
Athens.
Yeah, Sparta. Whatever, bro. Okay, wrap us up, Mike.
I just wanted to wrap us up by shouting out Luka Garza. Did you see what he got up to last night?
59 points.
20 rebounds. Oof. Unbelievable.
The better Luka, question mark?
Oh, I was actually going to say I was going to take that team with Luka Garza at center over the field.
All right.
Yes. Put a Malachi Flynn numbers in the pro-am.
Luka Garza, unfortunately, plays for Bosnia. So
no, oh, is it Bosnia?
Yes.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
So he's taken at the moment, but you know, maybe he'll change his mind one day.
He'll pull an Embiid and play for the U.S. next Olympics. Yeah. Let's wrap it up. Unless Mike's got anything.